Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard I've been missing out on Wednesday night. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody needs an offering envelope, raise your hand. Bernie's got them. Get them while they're hot. Make your lips go flipping. Well, an envelope won't do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You only need an envelope if you use it as a tax deduction, which I highly recommend you should. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to come to the CCW class? That's a concealed weapons class. I need to tell Ashley. 1, 2, 3. That's Saturday. The 4th, August 4th. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is there anybody else? Okay. All right. I think it's $60. I'm not sure. Pretty sure that's what it is. Okay. Hallelujah. You mean you believe in protecting yourself? Yes. There is no prohibition against protecting yourself in the Bible. Okay? There you go. Hallelujah. But there is a prohibition against protecting your lawnmower. Okay? You can't. I said there is a prohibition against protecting your lawnmower. You can't shoot somebody because they're taking your lawnmower. The Bible tells you that. Okay? You can't shoot nobody for taking your stuff. Yeah. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. I'll bring that with me Saturday. Okay? Are you ready to give? Bernie needs an offering envelope. Hallelujah. Now, the third Saturday of the month is our men's prayer breakfast. So in August when we have it, we will do our ushers training. We'll whip you, me and Bernie will whip you into shape. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. In the basement. 2nd Sunday in August, we're going to the river to baptize. Well, I've been to the river and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I feel all right. Hallelujah. I'm pretty happy. Here, the last few weeks have been very trying on me, but I have just overwhelmingly been, I've been overwhelmed just by the fact that I'm saved. Amen. Glory to God. Blood bought, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. I'm so thankful that I was one of those sinners that were plunged beneath that flow that lost all their guilty stains. Amen. Hallelujah. All blessed. Do you want to ask me something, Michael? Not yet. Not yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all blessed? Are you sure? You happy? Remember the rule here is you're not happy unless your face has been notified. Okay? You can't say, yeah, I'm happy. No, you're not. All right? Not happy unless your face has been notified. Turn with me to Habakkuk. Where in the world's Habakkuk? Page 1227, if you got a Bible like mine. There you go. Hallelujah. I'm going to read three or four scriptures here real quick because I need to establish a point. Chapter 2, 14. Now here's a promise. Here's a promise that is going to be fulfilled. How many know when God declares something, he will bring it to pass? He doesn't always bring it to pass when we want him to, but if God declares it, he will bring it to pass. And the word of God declares, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. So Habakkuk declares here by God's inspiration that the glory of God, the presence of God, will someday cover the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. Amen. How many of you believe God can accomplish that? Amen. All right, let's go over to Job, page 651, if you got a Bible like mine. Chapter 5, verse 9. Hallelujah. Well, I went too far. Job chapter 5. I really like to read this whole thing, but I won't. I want to read a couple other things. So you believe that God's glory someday is going to cover the whole earth, right? Why do you believe that? Well, that's exactly the right answer, because he said it. Therefore, I believe it. Amen? All right. Verse 9 says, who does great things? He's talking about God here. Let's read verse 8. Then we'll give us a little context here. But as for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Job declares that for his cause, he's going to seek God, because God does so many marvelous things, it's unsearchable. In other words, you could spend probably a million lifetimes and never completely tell the story of what God has done, how good he is, what he has accomplished. I really believe that we have just scratched the surface of knowing who God is. Amen? So we know he does marvelous things. You all believe that, right? Because the word of God says it. Now go over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, page 1568. Romans chapter 11, page 1568. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of Yahweh? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? Go back to verse 33. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Paul is equating riches. See, we think of riches as money. Paul is saying, oh, the riches. He's equating richness with God's wisdom and God's knowledge. Amen? How many know your Bible tells you that wisdom is more precious than rubies? Amen? More costly than gold. Amen? How many of you ever made a decision that was void of the wisdom of God, and you had to clean up the mess for months? Sometimes it takes years. Amen. So when we mess up, we can really see how, if we would have listened to God and listened to his wisdom, how valuable that would have been at that moment. Now let's go over to Luke. So we've seen that God's glory is going to cover the face of the earth someday. We've seen that Job believed that God could do marvelous things. Paul's telling us here that God's wisdom and knowledge is so vast, so rich. And if we go over here to Luke 1:37, I want you to see something else about God. I don't have that page number. I added that later. Luke chapter 1. You could probably tell me what I'm reading. I know what verse. You don't know what verse. I know exactly what verse. Verse 37. Now, the angel of the Lord tells Mary, you're going to conceive a child. And she says, how can that be? I haven't known a man. And the answer is what? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? God's wisdom, his richness is found in his wisdom and his knowledge. God alone can do unsearchable, marvelous things. Amen? Someday God promises that his glory is going to be seen on all the face of the earth. Amen? But I want to talk, I want you to understand this. I just wanted to make sure you knew who I was talking about when I talk about God. He's a God of impossibilities. Amen? He can take something that's impossible in your life and make it possible. Amen? He is a pain taker and a way maker. Amen? Glory to God. He's clothed you in royalty and filled you with his spirit. Amen? Filled you with resurrection power. Glory to God. That means you can get through anything if you keep trusting in him. But I want to talk to you about something today, but I had to make sure you knew who I was talking about. Because how many know in this country they say we're divided? I don't think we're really divided, because to be divided, there has to be half here and half here. I think it's more like two-thirds and one-third, to tell you the truth. Okay, I think there's more good guys than there are bad guys, all right? But I want to talk to you about something. I need you to understand that who God is, because there's situations in your life right now, and I know some people that I know, there's situations in their life that they say they're trusting God, but they have no peace. Amen? See, if I ask somebody for a definition of peace, somebody would say an absence of conflict. A husband might say, there's peace in my home as long as I do what I'm told. Huh? Or peace is when there's an absence of war. And that would be a good answer. But biblical peace, the word is shalom. In Hebrew, in the Hebrew culture, in Israel, by the way, I need to speak to everybody that's going to Israel here after we get done. In Israel, they greet you. We say hello. They say shalom. Okay? Or they say shalom aleichem, which is peace be unto you. All right? But either way, they're declaring peace in your life. I like that. Amen. So here's the biblical definition of shalom. You can see it's a lot more than just an absence of war. Biblical peace, shalom, actually carries with the idea of health, security, completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, harmony, quietness, success, prosperity, personal integrity, honesty, and justice. How many know when there's no justice in the land, there's no peace? Amen. They go hand in hand. How many know when there's no honesty or integrity? How many of you ever stole something? Don't raise your hand. Or how many of you ever told a lie? Don't raise your hands. I know you're being honest. Huh? Or how many of you ever told a lie on somebody else? Huh? I'm just asking here a question. See, because when you do that, you don't have any peace. When that person finds out what you said, you're not going to have any peace. Or if you stole something, you don't have any peace, you're worried about getting caught. See? So, personal integrity, honesty, and justice. You know, as Christians, we should always be truthful, amen? We should always walk in integrity and honesty. And when we do, we'll have peace in our life. Amen? All right, let me keep going here. I want you to turn with me to Luke's gospel. You're in Luke. Let's just go to Luke 2:14. And I'm going to tell you a story about Gideon. Gideon? What's he got to do with Luke? Absolutely nothing. However, I didn't want to turn to Gideon just to read you one little sentence. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? Mighty man of valor, he's called. Mighty man of valor. This mighty man of valor was fearful of the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord finds him, he's out behind the threshing floor. He's hiding, but he's trying to grind a little wheat without the Midianites seeing him, so he can bake some bread for his family. So he doesn't look like a mighty man of valor. How many of you know God doesn't look on the outside, he looks on the inside? Amen. But on the inside, now watch what God does. God declares to him, "You mighty man of valor." Who's he talking to? Huh? But in the end, Gideon calls God Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. I mean, now Gideon was given this army. He had this army, and God said, well, you know, he whittles them way down, and finally he says, take them down, get them a drink of water, and they get down, they bend over, and the ones that lap it up like a dog, you're out of here, but the ones that use their hand, it ends up with only 300. But then God fooled the enemy, and they killed each other. And so Gideon calls God Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. Because now Gideon didn't have to grind his wheat in fear. God had brought peace in that situation. Amen. Can I tell you something about God? God wants you to have peace in every situation of your life, in every relationship, whether it's a husband and wife, a child and a parent, a grandparent and a grandchild, whether it's your boss on the job. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have success. He wants you to have harmony in your relationships. He wants you to walk in health. I can prove that to you. In Isaiah 53:5, the word of God says, Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. Right? Bruised for your iniquities. Now watch this now. And the chastisement or the punishment for your peace was upon him. You hear me? God didn't want you just to be born again and get to heaven. God wanted to make you whole. He wanted to make you complete. He wants your bodies healed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to walk in that prosperity. And you know, for me, prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is in my relationships. I mean, I'm a people person. Here the last 3 weeks, I've been working my tail off with this big company. And I've been out in the field meeting their pumpers, the guys that take care of their wells. I give them hats. I give them my card. Then I send trucks to their well site. These guys get paid commission, okay? They got to get the oil out in order for the gas to flow. If they have to shut a well in because they can't get the oil out, they don't get the commission. We get along really good because I send trucks to them and they keep their wells on. It's a win-win. But there's a relationship there. God's given me favor with them, amen? God has given me harmony with those in those relationships. I mean, it's really cool because I know God's been in it. me and him been, you know, I've been in my pickup truck a lot out in the boondocks. They don't drill wells on 5th and Monroe. Although if they told us we had some oil here, we might think about it, all right? Hallelujah. Boy, then could we build a building. Anyway. But see, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace so much that Jesus bore the penalty of sin and death in order for you to have that peace. Amen? Okay. Now look what the Bible says in Luke 2. Watch. Let's look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's God's will for mankind to have his peace. It's God's will for you to walk in health. It's God's will for you to walk in security and completeness. That's what God wants for you. You, anybody believe that besides me? Huh? I mean, I don't think the earth will ever be absent from war until the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace himself, comes. However, I do believe that we can walk in God's peace as God's children. Amen? All right, let me keep going here. Let's go over to Philippians. Page 1665, if you got a Bible like mine. I'm going to hurry and get to my point. Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Hallelujah. Page 1665, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Jesus. Let me read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did you see what that says about God's peace? It surpasses your natural understanding. You can't understand it. When you're going through a test and a trial, yet the inside of you is not all tore up and worked up, you're trusting in God, that's peace that passes all understanding. Amen? And can I tell you something, folks? I'm going to put a heavy revy on you. The world needs you to walk in God's peace. Amen? The world really, really, really needs us to walk in God's peace. We need to have a sound mind. Amen? We need to be walking in honesty and integrity. The world needs us. The world doesn't need another person to just, The world needs us to hold on to God. The world needs us to grip a hold of God. The world needs us to know God and to be able to walk in God's peace that passes all understanding. How many of you really believe that you have resurrection power living on the inside of you? You believe the Holy Spirit is living in you. You know what the Apostle Paul said about the kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. In other words, with the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in you, that is the source of your joy, that is the source of righteousness, and it is the source of peace. I'm hanging there. I'm going to help you get there. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, page 712. Psalms 34. Hallelujah. See, sometimes I have page numbers and sometimes I don't. Here's why. When I'm studying and I write a scripture down, I'll take the time to write the page number. But I might be writing down here and God give me another scripture. And I just got to scribble it in there somewhere. I won't have a chance to write the page number. So those are the moments you got to fend for yourself. Okay? Amen. Psalms 34, verse 14. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 13 because I need to hear that. Keep your tongue from evil. Oh, wow. Nobody here ever spoke anything evil. Huh? Notice it says, keep your tongue. Don't blame the devil. God's not going to grab hold of your tongue. You keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Now watch this. Seek peace, shalom, and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. I think that's a double imperative. How'd you like that, you English majors? I looked it up. Yes, I did. I was reading this thing, this big old book about, Hebrew words, and it said a double imperative. I said, what the heck is a double imperative? So I Googled it. It's exactly what I did. Hey, all wisdom comes from God. It's a tool, man. Amen. Glory to God. An imperative is something that is vitally important. And there's a double one here. Seek peace and pursue peace. And Jesus paid the price for that peace. Therefore, it's something that God wanted his people to walk in. Amen. Okay. Amen. All right, here we go. We're going to finish with a flurry here. Not a McFlurry, just a flurry. Page 1371, Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, unless I change my mind. Mark chapter 12. Hallelujah, I heard that. I don't hear really good, but I heard that. Verse 28. Page 1373. I'm going to try to show you how to walk in God's peace. I'm going to do my best. Verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Verse 31, and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, here's why it's so important that you read and know and understand the Hebrew Bible, or what some people call the Old Testament. We don't call it old around here. We don't think it's old. It's because Jesus is saying something here, and he's directly quoting two passages of Scripture out of the Hebrew Bible. The first one, love the Lord your God with all your, or hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. So Jesus quotes from that. Loving your neighbor as yourself, Jesus is quoting from Leviticus. Why don't we turn over there to Leviticus? Now, if you've heard me preach more than two or three times, you've heard me read this passage. It's just something that's very basic to understanding our Jewish roots. Leviticus 19, Page 19, or chapter 19, verse 11. Now watch this. Now, when God tells them that he is one God, and they're to love him with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, God ends that with, I am Yahweh. I am the Lord. Okay? He ends both of those commandments with that. In other words, he's letting us know this is not some Joe down the road that's commanding you this. It's the Lord. It's the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God, Yahweh, that's commanding this. And look what he says in verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Ooh-ooh. You shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am Yahweh. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord, Yahweh, the all-powerful, creative, covenant-keeping God. He keeps emphasizing that over and over. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's the quote. And the Bible gives us a how do I love my neighbor? Don't steal. Don't be a talebearer. Don't rob him. Don't be gossiping about him. Don't hold a grudge. And of all things, don't walk in unforgiveness. Why is that important? Well, if you're walking in love towards God and towards your neighbor, then your actions, your attitude, and your speech is going to reflect that love. When you walk in that love of God towards other people, then you are actively pursuing the peace of God. You with me? If you're not walking in love, if you're selfish, stingy somebody that's got to have your way all the time, huh? I didn't say nothing. I like to pause at those things and just look at y'all. You know, I get a few kicks and giggles out of that because it's like, he ain't talking to me. You know, if you're selfish, stingy, got to have everything your way all the time, then you're not actively pursuing the peace of God because you're not actively walking in the love of God. Amen. You know, Bernie was teaching on praise and worship, and I never like to trump another preacher, but I'm going to throw this one in here. It's not my original. Bernie was talking about worship. And one of my old mentors, Dwight Pryor, blessed memory. What's blessed memory mean? It means he went on to be the Lord, okay? Dwight Pryor has more impact on my life as far as my relationship with God goes than anybody else. And Dwight used to say that worship comes from an old English word, worship. And the difference between praising God and worshiping God is in praise, you're thanking him for all he's done. But when you're worshiping God, you're showing him what he's worth. Have you heard that new song out? We're going to sing it here one of these days by Natalie Grant, More Than Anything. And in that song, she says, I want the healer more than the healing. What she's saying is, I'm seeking God's presence. More than what he can do for me, I want to be in his presence. Amen. Man, I just got cold chills. Glory to God. Amen. So in order to seek God's peace, I've got to walk in love, especially with the people that are around me. Amen. Don't listen. My mother's family, I love them dearly. But I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Sometimes if you aggravate us, we have this voice. I got it. It is so. And sometimes I'll do it. I'll get in that grumbling voice, and I'm not even really mad. Huh? It's not necessarily what we say, but the that comes with it, you know? Nobody else does that. It's just our family. Just on the white side. Dad's family, they don't do that. Dad's family don't. You know what they do? They just don't talk to you. They just don't talk to you. They just get quiet. He knows that's right. All right? So, here's my point. Turn with me to 1754 before I get in a lot of trouble. It may be irreversible by now. 1754. Man, I wish that air conditioner was rumbling. Oh, well. So, We're in James chapter 2, page 1754, verse 14. Now watch. Okay. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? He's asking a question. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? See, faith takes action, does it not? Faith really is being faithful. He goes on to say, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have action or works, is what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his actions, and by his actions, faith was made perfect, or faith was made mature. Abraham was told to do a lot of things. Get up out of your home country, leave your family, cross over the Tigris and Euphrates rivers to a land that I will give you and give your descendants. So up he went and he left. He wasn't brought up in a church. The only thing he grew up in his father was an idol maker. So he grew up in a pagan society, and he hears the voice of God. He didn't have anybody teach him that there's a still small voice speaking to you. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham got up and went. Now, if Abraham would have sat there and said, I believe you, God, but he didn't get up and go, his faith would have been dead, right? But he got up, and he leaves, and he crosses the Tigris and Euphrates River. Amen? And he goes into the land that God promises him. Amen? And because Abraham was faithful, the Jewish nation came from Abraham. Our Bible comes from Abraham's descendants. And our Messiah comes from Abraham's descendants. And because Abraham got up and went to that land, our Messiah will return someday, and he will stand on the Mount of Olives. He will go through the Eastern Gate, and he will take his place on that Temple Mount, and then all nations will know that salvation flows from Mount Zion. Amen? And then there will be peace throughout all the earth. You know, the Bible says that God is going to punish the Egyptians and the Assyrians But then he's going to open up a highway from Assyria to Egypt through Israel. What's that mean? That means the Prince of Peace is coming, and he's going to bring salvation to Assyria. He's going to bring salvation to the Egyptians and all of the sons of Abraham in that area. And I believe that that revival will spill out in America and around the world. Because I don't believe God wants to send more people to hell than make it to heaven. Amen. His mercy always precedes his judgment. Glory to God. And that's Isaiah 19, if you want to find that. But anyway, I want to get back to this. Get back to where I'm at. I want you to turn with me to number 6. I'm almost done. Numbers 6, page 183. Numbers 6. I want you to see something. Okay. When my actions, my speech, and my attitude is based on love, then I'm pursuing peace. But there's something else we have to do. Look here. This is called the commanded blessing. Psalms 133 refers to this blessing as the commanded blessing. Well, here, keep your finger there. Keep your finger there, and let's jump over to Psalms 133. It's going to be about page 770-something. 789. Psalms 133. Now watch. Watch this. Then we'll go back to Numbers. Keep your finger there. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, brethren dwelling together in unity, this is a group of people whose actions, they're walking in the love of God, they're getting along with each other, they're pursuing peace by walking in love. And it goes on to say, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edges of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Whew. He says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he's talking now, he says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron. I believe he's speaking about the presence of God in your life. Amen? Those brethren walking in unity. And he's describing the presence of God as like when they anointed the high priest and they poured the oil down upon him, and that presence just, that oil just saturated his hair, ran down his beard, covered his whole body. Amen? And he describes it as the dew of Hermon. When you see Mount Hermon, you are going with me. And I hope we get to eat at that little, what are those people called? Druze. I hope we can eat at the Druze restaurant, because you can sit there in the open air and see the snow-capped Mount Hermon. It's pretty cool. But the dew is so heavy it runs off Mount Hermon. It's really cool, and it waters the valley below. So that's the commanded blessing. Now, that is the blessing, but here is the commanded blessing. He says, or that 133 is the result of walking in unity, okay? And here is the commanded blessing. He says that's where the commanded blessing lies. This is the blessing in Numbers 6, page 183, verse 22. This is the blessing that God commanded Aaron to speak over the children of Israel. And remember, I've said this before. I can't do it. Some of you can't. Remember Mr. Spock, Star Trek? He used to do it. See, Bernie could do it. I can't do it. I got to get him over. He would hold his, give that sign right there. Well, this is what the high priest would do with both hands. He would stretch out his hands, both hands over the people, and he would quote this verse, this commanded blessing. And he says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you." Let me stop a minute. Bless and keep you. And we could teach on this. Maybe we will here pretty soon. To bless and keep you is speaking of a father. To keep means to provide and protect. Amen? Like a shepherd would keep his sheep. Like a father would keep his family. Amen? So it's speaking of God. God is the one who will bless you and keep you just like a father. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. That's an idiom for God's favor. Amen? May the Lord make his face shine upon you. Have you ever, where's the men at? Usually when we get a baby, us guys, there's something about a baby. We like to hold them up here and, you know, "Oh, you're so cute. Get you. Huh? Do we not? Can you imagine God, you know, that baby's face is shining on you. Your face is shining on that baby. Can you imagine God just holding you face to face, letting his face shine upon you? That's cool. But it's also an idiom for God's favor. Amen. When God's face shines upon you, he's giving you his favor. All right, let me keep going here. He says, "And be gracious to you." Not a person in here that hasn't experienced the grace of God. Amen. And then he says, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you." That's another idiom for God's favor. "And give you" what? Shalom. Peace. "So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." And we're talking about walking in the peace of God, pursuing the peace of God. And here it clearly tells us that God wants to give us his peace. That right there. Contentment, harmony, quietness, success, prosperity, integrity, honesty, justice, health, security, completeness, soundness, tranquility. Whew. When the storm is raging, to be able to be content and to have a tranquil heart. My makeup's not like that. I'm not a guy that likes to meet and talk about stuff. Somebody asked me not too long ago what I thought my greatest attribute was. I said, "Well, my greatest attribute is also my worst attribute. I'm a guy that gets things done. That's good, and that can be bad, you know? Because if you're not a planner, a T-crosser, an I-dotter, and you want to get things done, there's a lot of times you're trying to get things done, but you're having to go back and lick your own calf. Huh? Ain't nobody else like that. I think they call it flying by the seat of their pants. Okay? So anyhow, let me keep going here. I don't know what I was doing with that. Numbers chapter 14. I want you to see something. I'm still trying to get you to pursue the peace of God. I don't know. Seriously. 28. Let's start in verse 26, though. "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me?" Ooh. "I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me." Watch this. "Say to them, as I live, says Yahweh." How many know he's alive and well today? "Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." That means God hears everything we say. And God says to the children of Israel, everything you're complaining about, I'm going to give it to you. Everything, watch, everything you're declaring, I'm going to give it to you. What are you declaring? See, you got to walk in love in order to pursue peace. But you know what? You need to be declaring peace over your home. I was thinking about this message driving down here, and I thought, you know what? Every time I walk in my brother-in-law's office, I'm going to say, shalom. Shalom to this office. And he'll say, what? And I'll say, peace to this office. And he'll say, rah, 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 rah. Some things I can't repeat, but I'm working on him. A lot of pressure in that office. Amen. Anybody know what pressure is? I remember one time, I'm going to tell this on myself. I shouldn't probably. I was in a basketball game in the Ashland Oil League. It was down to the final game. And when I got fouled with like 3 seconds left, and I went to the foul line to shoot two, and this guy beside me is going, pressure, pressure, pressure. And I just grabbed a basketball. I said, son, I've been divorced and bankrupt. This is not pressure. This is not pressure. Okay. So anyway, you've all felt some pressure, have you not? How do we handle that pressure is the key. Even in the storm, even in those pressure points, we still have to walk in love. You don't know what I'm going through. That's not an excuse. I said, man, preacher, you're preaching hard. No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I want this in your life. I want peace in your life. I want you to have everything in that that's on that board in your life, in your children's life, in your grandchildren's life, in your husband's life. On the job, I want you to have it. God wants you to have it. Amen? So just because you're having a bad day, or let me speak to the younger generation, or just because you stayed up all night playing video games, that is no excuse. You're still required to walk in love. Amen? You're still required to pursue peace. Amen. Now, as they get older, like some of us, you know, I try to go to bed at 8:30. But I get up at 5. And it seems like the older I get, the more sleep I require. More sleep I require, but the less I seem to be getting here lately. Amen? So, we're going to walk in love, and we're going to declare peace. That's how we pursue it. Amen? We got to put a little effort into it. Are y'all blessed today? Now watch this. The Jewish people, when they say shalom, we say hello. Okay? When we say goodbye, they say shalom. But what they're doing is they are declaring God's peace in that other person's life. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why is that a big deal? Because God said, I'm hearing everything you're saying. I'm going to do everything you're saying, everything you declare, according to the Word of God. So I'm just going to say, if you don't have any peace in your relationships, might be time to walk in love. Might be time to start declaring peace in that house, or peace in those relationships. Amen. Now, I'm preaching to me too. I want you all to know I haven't arrived like I'm some super duper Christian. I'm in the foxhole with you. I make mistakes. I get mad. I am quick to repent and quick to apologize. Don't tell people you're sorry. There's too many sorry people in the world. Just apologize. All right. When I say, let me give you a definition of sorry people. People need Jesus, okay? I'm not trying to, you know, put anybody down. But I hate to hear somebody say, I'm sorry. No, you're not. You're not sorry. God made you. Now, if you want to apologize to me, good. Somebody say amen. So I hope I've helped you this morning. I helped me. Because I need to pursue peace in every area of my life. Amen. Are y'all blessed? Are you happy? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And peace begins when you make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. Because now you've been reconciled to the Father. You have peace with the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed this morning? Glory to God. We'll let Carolyn keep teaching on Wednesday, but I'm going to do my doggonest to be here. But she can get you all involved. I don't let you get involved. So, you know, I'm hearing she lets you get involved. I'm like, Lord, she has more faith than I do. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed? Let me speak peace over you. Father, I ask that you bless and keep these your people. That you let your face shine upon them with your favor. Father, let your countenance be turned towards them. Let them walk in your grace. And let them walk in your peace that passes all understanding. Put your name upon them, Lord God. Give them your authority. Give us someone we can witness to this week, Lord God, and tell about your goodness, your mercy. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. So next Saturday is the concealed weapons class. I'll let you know the details Wednesday when I talk to Ashley. Ashley's pretty intense when he teaches his class, and he'll do gun safety. Because, you know, for me, before I had a concealed weapon permit, I'd only shot a pistol. Shotguns.